Welcome to the Cashflow Legends Podcast with your hosts, Nate, Brandon, and Brock. Remember, our insights are not direct financial advice, so consult with your financial team before making any decisions based on the topics discussed in this show.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Cashflow Legends. I know I am really excited to be back. I had a little hiatus where I was out a couple weeks in a row. Nate and Brock killed it with two guests. I'm excited for you guys to watch those. If you haven't already, go back and check them out. Today, we're going to get to really talk about something that comes up all the time in our conversations and in our process. But first, I just want to tell everybody that does watch and does listen to us on the podcast that we're very grateful for that. And guys, did you know that when people put comments, even if they're not good comments, that actually helps the algorithm? Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. All right.
I don't like it, but yes.
I don't like it either.
So bring on the hate. Let's go.
Bring on the hate. Bring on the questions. Bring on the, you know, the differences of opinion. And I heard a guy say this the other day, and this will kind of segue into this conversation. Are you guys familiar with Charlie Kirk? You ever seen his stuff? And this is something that he said that I really liked. He said, the minute we stop talking from different sides of opinion is when historically the worst things happen. And you can bring that down to a granular level of friendship, marriage, business partnerships, and you can go to a gigantic level of world wars, financial issues in the country. The minute we stop talking from different opinions is the minute that bad things start happening. So today we're going to really start from that perspective of, is it really an infinite banking versus traditional financing argument, or can it be a conversation? And we're going to start with this idea of, why do you guys think that in the social media world today, this seems to be so at conflict? And then start with just kind of an overview of what you see on social media, why you think there appears to be a conflict between infinite banking and more specifically whole life insurance. Because let's be very clear, when we talk about infinite banking or becoming your own banker, we're referring to whole life insurance with a mutual company and versus traditional investing, 401ks, qualified plans. And let me say this before we start. We are not financial advisors. This is not financial advice. We're not telling you what you should do with your money, what you shouldn't do. We don't have all those fancy initials behind our names. This is just what we've learned, what we've experienced, and we're going to have thought-provoking conversation that hopefully engages differences of opinion and how you think about something. So why do we see that out there right now?
Yeah, I do have some of those fancy initials behind.
Oh, me. I forgot about that. I forgot.
Sometimes I can pull that lever, even though I don't like to. So I think when it comes to the conflict piece of it, which I kind of enjoy, because from my standpoint, where I've been in life and the groups that I'm a part of, I have this conversation a lot, probably 2 to 3 times a day. And I think the real reason why we have conflict is because of where things are at today and the media and how people just have to take a stand. But when you really start breaking things down and challenging people on what they say is true or think that is true, you really get a kind of a sense for, they don't actually know what's going on. So like yesterday I was in a meeting with somebody that came from a investment group that I'm a part of called the Lifestyle Investor with Justin. And I believe we're going to share that podcast with everybody. And came to me, you know, he does everything right by the book. I mean, everything. And when it came to whole life insurance, because that's actually how he came to me and wanted to talk to me, he wants to know every single thing out there. And I said, hey, I don't care to push back on you right here. I don't really care to know the answer. I just want you to be aware of it. But when you got into your 401k, did you also ask all these questions? Did you spend the amount of time that we're going to spend today getting into the 401k as we are about with the whole life? He said, no, I didn't have to. I know what investments do. They go up and down and I'm fine. And I said, Well, this isn't just an investment. You also have wrappers around it, right? How do you get in? How's the tax going in? How's it get tax coming out? How do you access the money? Can you access it early? What happens when you borrow from the account? When you borrow from the account, how is that amount paid back? Is it paid back with after-tax dollars or is it paid back with pre-tax dollars? And so I think the conflict comes from, we've heard from people who have a big following of what to do, and we see all this money being poured into things to say one way, and nobody's ever pushed us to actually ask, hey, is this as bad as everybody actually says? Because I'm sure it happens for you guys as it does for me. They get on the call and say, yeah, I don't want to do the whole life because it takes, you know, I feel like 8 to 13 years to get access to my money. Well, last week I had a gentleman, 30 days, 32 days to be exact, on when we paid the first premium to the day that we utilize his cash value. So just being able to question things and show, hey, let's sit down and actually ask the hard questions that nobody's really pushed us to ask before.
Mm. That's good.
Yeah, I think it's funny I let off with that statement, because where I was going with that is most people don't want to think. They just want to be told. And there is a level of understanding that we need to really press into when it comes to both sides of the equation. You know, how the investment world works, how the insurance world works. And what a lot of people have done is they've listened to some of the talking heads out there. We won't name names. And they just took that information and ran with it. And it was like, oh, if he's saying it or if she's saying it, then it must be true. And I don't have to do any more research. I don't have to go look and find out or whatever. And the reality is, our entire life, we're going to have the ability to turn a stone over and see what's there. Like, the stones are plentiful, and it's up to us to decide, like, how many of these stones do we want to turn over? But in this world that we live in today, in this financial space that we operate in, there is a lot of misunderstanding on both sides. And I know from personal experience, when we first got into the infinite banking world, we were kind of ignorance on fire a little bit at first. And we just thought that if you weren't doing whole life insurance and you were doing all these other things, like you were an idiot. Like, that was our initial understanding. But as we've evolved and we've started learning more and pressing into those things that we didn't understand, we've come to the conclusion that there's value on both sides and how those things can actually work together.
I think, Brandon, one of the things also is we're actually asking people to take ownership of their finances, where everything else is, hey, let me just hand this over to you. You can handle it. And if something bad happens, no worries. It's your fault, not mine. And that is the biggest approach that I think we're taking a stand on, which is, hey, it's kind of time to start taking ownership of your finances and do something with it. And, you know, the reality is, like Nate was just saying, it's not for everybody, right? Not everybody should do this. Like, not everybody should be an entrepreneur. Not everybody should be a real estate investor. But you should take a look at it and see what's going on. There are a million ways to build wealth. We have found that this is the way for us, and we like certainty, we like control, and we like having the most options to us.
That's really good, guys. So here's I want to walk through a really good way. So I hope anybody listening or watching right now, if you come from a very traditional wealth building approach, so you contribute to qualified plans at your job, or you fill qualified plans, you know, from your company, whatever angle you're coming from, you take the match, you know, all those things. I think one of the greatest things to ask ourselves that we get to do every day is, do you agree that wherever your dollar goes, your hard-earned dollar that you've created, that it has a And then most people go, well, what do you mean? Especially if this is a new conversation. And we have to be genuine in the way we ask questions, because we can get kind of highfalutin and haughty on our belief of what we know instead of meeting them where they're at. And I'm guilty of that. So the genuine question is, do you agree there's a partner? Well, what do you mean? Okay, if you put your money in a savings account, your partner's the bank. Just this past week, Nate and I were talking to a guy, the straw that broke the camel's back for him calling us is that he went to get his cash and they told him he had to wait 7 to 10 days because they didn't have the money. And he's been banking with this bank for a long, long time. And he's like, that does not make sense to me. I don't understand how that can be true. And so we just talked about partnerships and the rules of the game. If we put our money in a qualified plan, we have a partner. What are the rules of that partnership? Understanding the rules, like Nate alluded to, turning over that rock. Here's the cool thing about turning over those rocks. When you turn over a rock and you figure out what's under it, you are now at the precipice of what do I do next? Or do I ignore it like I never saw it? And it will haunt you. If you saw it and you believe that there's something I should be doing different and you don't, as Nate says often, it will begin to haunt you because you cannot unsee what you see. But once we know the truth about something under that rock, the cool part is we get to start deciding what do I want to do about it, which comes back into Brock's great point about ownership. And the world of where we put our money and why there's such a conflict between traditional financial advice and whole life insurance is really so jacked up. And this is why. And guys, I want you to touch on this. If we're aware of the partners we have where our money goes, and we're aware that convenience is sometimes a death trap that works against us if it's made to be convenient and automated, what if we could go on a journey to discover that even if I love the stock market and I love things in the market, I could also learn about what Nate and Brandon and Brock do, and I could protect and stabilize and make it better. Now we might be having a different conversation, a more abundant conversation. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think that is 100% true, because what we're doing is not saying our way is better than your way. We can get a better number than you are. What we're saying is, hey, we're going to come alongside you, and everything you're currently doing, we're going to try to make even better. And just be able to look at it from an abundance mindset. Now, when it comes to the stock market, and I'm going to try to be very careful not to say things that I'm not supposed to say, so don't hold this against me, please. Not financial advisor, blah, 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 blah. There's, if you're going to be an investor in the stock market, there's a lot of different things that you could say, right? Portfolios that are created, there's the 100% equities, there's, you know, 80, 20, 70, 30, 40, 60, 60, 40. What that means is, hey, portion is in stocks, portion is in bonds. And why would we have that? So that we could mitigate some of our risk, so that when the market comes down, we could sell a position and get back in to rebalance. And so a lot of times when I come into investors today and they're in the stock market, what we're finding is most of them are younger people and they don't actually work with an advisor too much. But they are 100% in equities, which is fine. That's great for them. But then when it comes to, okay, well, you're in this position, how great of an investor are you? We start going down the rabbit hole and trying to learn where they're at, what's going on. And then we say, okay, well, how are you going to hedge against this? Where are you going to store capital so that when things do turn and the market takes a downturn, where are you storing your capital to then get back in to be able to bolster all of your returns over time? Most of them say, well, I'm not. I just put all my money in the market and then I'll just keep putting money in the market, I guess. Well, what we're doing is saying, hey, why don't we build some statement wealth where we give money to the market, like the stock market, and they give us a return. We're taking the risk on it and we're growing our money, but then also build contractual wealth between us and the insurance company where they guarantee us the returns, so that in changing economies, we're able to pull on a bucket that has no risk of loss, is accessible, and it's tax-free, to then get back into the market and grow our returns even greater than they were before. Mm. Because what most people don't realize is when the market downturns, other than maybe that little blip in 2020, it takes 5 years to get back to just where most people started.
That's good.
And if we can jump in with money that we didn't have in the market, that means we get to speed up that timeline, grow wealth faster, and be ahead.
Yeah, I've had sort of two sets of people that I've worked with and connected with. People who were just the consumer in the process, and they were just investing the traditional way. And then I've also had the financial advisor come to me who obviously was taught the traditional way. And both of those groups are coming saying, obviously there's something different that I need to learn about. And hats off to the advisors who have done, who have reached out to me in the past and they're like, hey, I feel like you know something I need to know. It wasn't long ago that somebody asked me like, hey, what's your experience been with financial advisors? I'm like, well, the ones who've reached out to me, I've had great conversations with. And I said, in fact, one of them I converted, and he was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, he left his big brokerage house and went independent so that he could start using whole life insurance as part of his strategies for his clients. I was like, well, that's pretty cool, because when you're with a big brokerage, they're very specific about what they want you selling. You know, they've got quotas and all those other things, and they don't make the money on whole life insurance the way they do on assets under management. And that's not financial advice. That's just the truth. So when you really are able to shed some light on this other way and people fully understand what's going on, then they're like, oh, I don't have to pick one way or the other. Like, these things can actually be brought together in a really cool way. And I don't know if this is a great analogy, but something I thought about is like, water is water, but when water goes through a filter, it's purified, it becomes better. It's a better version of what it started in the beginning. And same way with money. Money is money, but when it goes through the filter of whole life insurance and protection and everything like that, well, then it comes out better on the other side. Hmm. And, you know, there's, okay, so maybe it is a good analogy because y'all are both shaking your heads. So,
not too shabby.
Anyways, but that's really what we're talking about. It's like, hey, you know, money's going to flow through your life. Why don't we add a filter to it to just make it better where it comes out on the other side?
That's good. You guys have both alluded to some really great points about helping people think about how they think. So, foundation of Nate and I's story is we read the book called Becoming Your Own Banker, written by Nelson Nash. And one of his key principles is rethink your thinking, which is very in line with turning over rocks, evaluating what's under that rock once you turn it over. And here's what I can say for sure is that banks, Wall Street, and IRS know they're going to win if we play the game the way they want us to. They know it. There's no wondering. It is locked in. So wouldn't it be prudent on all of our behalves to have conversations to find ways to provide as much value as possible for the potential interested person that wants to learn more, for the potential interested financial advisor who goes, well, maybe there is something I could learn about. Maybe there's something they could teach us. Because here's the thing. Let's flip the roles. Let's say that I have a financial advisor in my neck of the woods that we seem to be at odds with each other. There may be a little truth to this, okay, in my own world. I'm in a little small community. We have not had a personal conversation. I think very highly of this person. All the people I know that know him speak highly of him. But I'm pretty certain he has a strong opinion of me because everything he knows about me relates to whole life. and many of his clients have chose to do some different things since they've met me. Not because I told them to, but because they turned over rocks and they said, this is what I want to do. And they know why now. Key piece. They know why. And so I'm almost certain that if we were to sit into a room and have an open discussion where I'm not trying to prove to him what I believe and he's not trying to prove to me what he believes, but we come together and we go, what do you know that you're great at? What do I know that I'm great at? How could we work together for the ideal situation when necessary? We would all three win. The advisor would win, the member, the prospect would win, and I would win. I'm certain of that. But it takes a lot of humility and awareness to say, I don't know everything. And that is not something that most of us are inclined to do naturally, because we like to tell everybody what we know. And like Nathan mentioned earlier, ignorance on fire. Now we want to ask questions in a way where you're confident in knowing why you're doing what you're doing. And if you are at peace with what's under that rock and how it operates, great. There's a lot worse things in life than to go through life knowing why you're doing what you're doing and being at peace with it. That's a good thing. So I read a book recently. I think Nate has it. I don't know if he's read it, Brock. I don't know if you've read it, called The Fifth Option. It's a guy by the name of Walter C. Young.
I just got it.
Yep, there it is right there. So here's what I really like about it, because I'm a nerd, is he actually walks you through why there's a conflict between insurance and traditional financial advice. Because let's go back. The law of big numbers and pooling risk to protect big numbers of people can be dated back all the way to the Roman Empire easily. So when a Roman soldier would retire, the Roman powers that be didn't want those soldiers pulling together their expertise and their experience to create any type of revolt. So one of the ways that they helped satisfy them is they would allow a way to pull together resources to cover for death and burial and all the things that go along with end of life type of coverage that we would call today. And so this is, you know, evolved over time to a point to where it's not magic, it's math when we talk about whole life insurance, when we talk about mutual companies and how they determine your human life value and the fact that you cannot be worth more dead than alive. So it's just a simple math equation of the law of large numbers. And so what he really brings to the precipice is that up until about the 90s, pensions were very common, very common. And a pension provided an income plan for when you retired. So I want everybody listening right now to ask yourself this question. With the financial plan you have right now, whatever it is, will it for sure provide the amount of income you would feel at peace with for the entirety of your retirement years in the traditional sense? And when you ask people that, it brings them to this thought of, well, I don't know if it would, because for that to occur, I would have to know all these variables guaranteed. And that's just not typically possible in traditional financing when an investment has to grow and provide income simultaneously. And the book does a really good job of walking through that. But here's what I love about it the most. It's a parable style book. It then brings together, these are normally the four options you're told in traditional financial advice on a drawdown theory and approach on the accumulation of your balance sheet. And here's how you compare that with insurance to make your plan more stable, more guaranteed for an income plan instead of just, oh, I hope I have enough to draw down and I hope I don't die too soon. Okay. And it really shows it and it walks you through. And that's why it's called The Fifth Option. Because Brock, what would normally be the main things that a traditional financial advisor who doesn't know what we know, who hasn't had an awesome conversation where we grow together, If I come to them around 45 or 50 and I evaluate our plan and they tell me the Monte Carlo is now saying 2.75 or 3.5 is the amount of drawdown percentage that you can do if you want to retire at 60. There are only a few things that I can do to affect that. What are those things? And that's a loaded question. I didn't tell you to prep for this before we started.
No, you didn't, but it's kind of funny. I'm actually kind of walking through that on LinkedIn right now.
Okay.
Posting these things. So your question was, what are some of the things that we could do to affect that?
Right? Yep.
We could take on more risk to try to increase our returns. Mm-hmm. We could try and save more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we could work longer. And that's really about it.
Yep.
Yep.
Or we could learn how to live on less.
Which to me, a lot of people say, oh, you know, when I get to retirement, I'm going to have less. I'm not going to need as much income. And I'm kind of like, Wow, mm-hmm. that really sucks. So you're telling me that we work 20 to 30 years to scrimp by and save and hope for this magical one day, someday retirement. And everything was going to be all good and dandy. And we're going to take vacations and it's going to be fun and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to take less income. Like, why would we take less income in a time when every day is the weekend? Why does that sound like a good plan to us? I would much rather build to have the most amount of income, to do the things that I want to do, to give back where I want to give back, with who I want, where I want, however I want, with the peace of mind that I'm not going to run out of money later on.
So you're alluding to, this is the point he brings up. He goes, you know, let's say you're around 60, 65, and you've already got grandkids and you're going to retire and you're going to live on less. He reframes it in a very practical way. He says, so what you're really saying is, let's say you really are a family person. You love seeing your grandkids. And let's say they don't live close to you. What you're really saying is I'm choosing to develop a life and a retirement plan that chooses to send them postcards instead of showing up in person.
Hmm. Yep.
And it doesn't matter if you have grandkids or you want to do something else and you want to travel. You're choosing to watch travel shows on TV instead of go traveling.
Or sitting in the back of the plane rather than the front of the plane.
There you go. And so one of the things that I know we all love about going through the process of asking these thought-provoking questions is what we're really alluding to often is, do you want to plan on a needs-based approach or a maximum potential approach? And the world conditions us to believe that it needs to be needs-based, but the fault in needs-based planning, and I can speak confidently on this because I was going down this path for 15 years, so I'm not just making stuff up. I was living it, is that you don't know what you need in 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, 3 years, much less what you need in a week. But you do know that you have maximum potential that you feel like is getting untapped often. And this is how I know that. Great book called Miracle Morning. Met with thousands of people on their deathbed, and they asked them, what is the thing that you know the most now that you didn't know as you were going through this life? And they said that I don't feel like I ever fully met my and reached my potential. I mean, just let that sink in for a second. Go ahead, Nate.
So NerdWallet, and there's other articles that are out there, but I just pulled up NerdWallet since we're on the topic. The average 401k balance by age. The age range of 55 to 64, which is the closest to retirement, the average 401k balance is $207,000 right now. Now, think about this. All right.
Did you say 401k or 201k?
Yeah. So we work our entire adult lives, okay, off of this needs-based approach. But most people, I would say, are consuming 75% of their money that might be generous.
That is.
Might be 85%, something like that. Like I said, I'm being generous, but stay with me on this. So we're consuming 85% of the money that we're making. We might have 10 to 15% left over to save or invest. Think about the amount of money that you make during your working years, and you've got just a fraction of that, just a very, very small percentage of that that's being set aside to hopefully be something one day that's going to support the income you were making when you were working. The numbers don't work. You've got to have a system for your cash flow, for your monthly money, that's going to make those dollars stronger in conjunction with the investments that you're doing. Because otherwise, you're never going to get there. Like I said, the average 401k balance for somebody who's nearing retirement age is $207,000. The median is $71,000. And the reality is most people are closer to the median than they are the average. So they've been following the needs-based approach. And are they actually going to have, I mean, 71 grand, I mean, if you're making 50,000 a year right now, it's not going to get you very far.
Hey guys, just remind me, on a lot of traditional retirement accounts, when you take income from it, how does that work with taxes?
Ordinary income.
Which is right now in the range of what?
The highest right now is 37%.
Yep. Now, the thing that we get to do daily that makes what I get to do, and we get to do the greatest job in the world, I believe, is help people start to realize or make plans to live a life on purpose. The money is just going to help that occur. And so this whole idea of retirement, I'm choosing my words wisely here. The whole idea of retirement, if it's not built into this is my next season of life and I still have 20, 30, 40 years of purpose to live, then we've fallen for a farce. Because the last thing we should do when we hit 60, 65 is quit doing things that are on purpose. Like, there has to be some intentionality behind why we want to do what we want to do. So I'm thinking about yesterday, I was visiting with a couple in their late 50s, and they've done all the things correctly. Now, I want you to ask yourself, where does the definition of correctly come from or by the book? Because if we're operating by this set of rules, but we don't yet know why those rules were created or who created them or why they created them, is it possible to consider that that is leading us down a path that won't lead to the success that we envision? Now, you just alluded to with the numbers perfectly. I'll use me because I'm an open book. I had 14 years in education, guys. And if I worked towards the math they gave me, and I retired for a full retirement. Okay. I was only going to get like 60 or 70% of the maximum income of my top five earning years, which probably would have been in the 100 to 200K range. When I retired, left education, and I got access to my teacher retirement, there was only about 65 or 75 grand in there. Now, y'all let that math for a minute. It doesn't. But here's the thing I can tell you with my own journey. I was scared to move it because I didn't know what I would do if I had it. Once I knew how to utilize it to accomplish the things that were on purpose for the life I wanted to live, it was an easy decision. And I think, Brock, you alluded to it early, that automation piece, like you asked that member that you were talking to, did you go through this many questions when you were signing up for your 401k? We have to be very aware that herd mentality is very real. It's not always bad, but it's real. And so it reminds me of a conversation I had with a private lender who had made, who loved reviewing real estate deals, and he only lended capital that was his. And he'd been doing it for 15, 20 years. He didn't use private money outside. It was all capital he had created through lending. And I said, how did you get to this point right now in the conversation we're having? How are you at this point? And he said, well, I did the banking world for a long time. He worked on finding great deals. He worked on finding the best relationships. And he said, I realized that I wasn't making the amount of money that the value I was creating justified because of the money that the bank I was working for that I knew they were making. And he said, so I started slowing down a little bit. And he said, the thing I can tell you now is that 80 to 90% of people will do the same thing as the other 80 or 90%. Doesn't matter what it is. He said, so I started building in habits where I stopped. I got a better vantage point. I slowed down and I started looking for the figurative heads that were going the opposite direction of the herd. And I started getting around those people. And what I realized really quick is they wanted the others to walk with them, but they knew most of them wouldn't. But they knew that they had to do something different if they wanted to live a different life. And now he lives a life on purpose. He said, I love reviewing deals. I love lending money. This is what I love doing. And he makes way, way more money than he ever did doing million and billion dollar deals for the banks. And so we have to keep all that in context, no matter what walk of life we're coming from, whether you're coming through our process as an uber successful young entrepreneur, like Brock works with a lot, you're coming to us as a soon to be retired educator, or you're somewhere in between. And you're like, I want to get out of the rat race of the W-2 I'm in because it doesn't fulfill the purpose I think I'm called to live. And I want to become an entrepreneur. This mindset, it has the potential to just make it more efficient and better. So guys, what would you guys add to kind of tie a bow on it, that maybe something impactful you've seen in the last couple of weeks, something you've experienced, or something that's just jumped out to you in general in this conversation?
I think those that are willing to ask the questions and just having an open mind to see what's actually going on out there, if it'll work, if it'll help, if there's something that you can't see that somebody else can see, I think that would go a long, long ways, because a lot of times we need to ask ourselves, hey, if I've been on this planet, if I've been with this person for so long and they've been telling me this and all I'm doing is putting money in the market, should I have somebody else take a look at it?
I would say get your blood work done. And here's what I mean by that. So I just had my blood work done recently and reviewed it yesterday. And there were things on there that surprised me that I just wasn't aware of. And from a financial standpoint, like, you need to be working with someone who can review your work, the things that you've created up to this point, and show you where there might be some deficiencies, where there might be gaps, how we can improve on the things where you're lacking.
That's really good, Nate. I'm going to ask you a question tied to that, knowing a little bit more on the background. Now that you know those things, you've turned over that rock, you made the choice to get the blood work, you made the choice to go to the appointment, and you made the choice to go through the review. Where are you right now and how you are deciding what's next?
So now that I've had an opportunity to talk about it a little bit, it's helped me. So, I mean, it's not like I'm terminal or anything like that. It's just like there were things that I just wasn't aware of.
Were things that you thought you were doing right that yes, turned out to be not what you thought.
Yes, perfectly said. But now that I'm aware of those things, and I also have a plan and an advisor, so to speak, that I can actually work with, who's worked with a lot of other people who in similar situations and has a track record of improvements for them, I'm feeling okay about it. Hey, I just got to do some things differently.
That's good. And that right there is the epitome of why we love what we do so much, because as you go through this process with us or somebody similar to us, you're going to become aware of what you've been doing really well that you're proud of, maybe some inefficiencies that you want to change and some things you just completely want to stop doing. And money is just the inanimate object that's going to make what you want to do better or worse. Really that simple. So we hope this has brought value to you today. Our ultimate goal is to share insight, share our experiences, be genuine, and ask thought-provoking questions so that you get to the point that you have more clarity on why you're doing what you're doing or why you want to adjust what you're doing. And really, at the end of the day, it just helps you live a life that is on purpose and intentional that you are really excited to wake up and live every day. So we hope this was of value today. We appreciate everybody watching. Hit those likes, subscribe, leave comments, rate us, all those things that you do to push the algorithm. We're grateful for it. And we'll see you on the next one.